Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned in today to Abound Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in Revelation chapter 3 and the church of Laodicea, which I have called the mile wide and the inch deep church. So the heart of the issue, you have to ask the question when you approach a church like this and Jesus is saying, and he's intensely bothered because they are neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm. In fact, he said, I'd rather you be either cold or hot. That kind of state is awful. What leads to that kind of state? What produces that? We've been looking at Jesus' assessment of this church this week, but now today we conclude by looking at their assessment of themselves and how Jesus calls them to turn from that and listen to what he has to say. So all of our churches should be doing this. We should be listening to what he has to say and ensure that we are not doing the things that are exposed here. So verse 17 of Revelation chapter 3 is the issue. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You have need of nothing. That's what you say. Now, Laodicea was famous for its prosperity. It had amassed wealth unlike any other city. They had a great banking center, a state-of-the-art medical school. Their manufacturing was untouched at the time. This city was full of pride. Here's the really interesting thing. An earthquake hit the region in AD 60, and all the other cities appealed to Caesar for financial aid. Laodicea was the only city that pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and rebuilt the entire city themselves. They had that much resource. Tacitus, a Roman historian, said, in the same year, Laodicea, one of the famous Asiatic cities, was laid in ruins by an earthquake, but recovered by its own resources without assistance from ourselves. The city was utterly self-dependent. They were full of pride. Transfer that. What is this church's assessment of itself? Did you catch it? You run around saying you don't need anything, that you're rich and wealthy. Does that sound familiar? They believed that economic prosperity was evidence of God's blessing and that they were spiritually strong, thriving congregation because that was all evidence of God's rich blessing. In short, the church had a health and wealth, prosperity, word of faith, movement mentality. I said yesterday, it's like a man building a beautiful baseball field, you know, with a wonderful pitching mound, great grass, hundreds of bleachers, beautiful dugouts, the best of bats, everything imaginable, the best players. Everyone is talking about that baseball field. What good is it without a ball? In other words, that little ball makes everything else work. Everything else becomes unuseful without the ball. What good is a church, dear listener, that is packed with people, has all the best programs, the best youth group, the best play areas, the best everything, and yet has a church really full of half-hearted people with no Christ in it? All those things are utterly useless and ineffective. All they've done is build a sense of false self-confidence, and that's the issue. Self-complacency, reliance in ourselves, breeds lukewarmness. You know, I said yesterday, the church in Smyrna was the polar opposite of Laodicea. You know, the church in Smyrna was poor because they had taken a stand against the cultural practices of the day and they said they were wrong. They were persecuted for it. But this church was the exact opposite. Because they were rich, all of their riches had been accumulated because they had refused to do what is right. And they thought they needed nothing. And Jesus says they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What had they forgotten? They had forgotten, dear listener, how desperately needful they are for Christ's continued ministry of righteousness to them. In other words, if you're wretched, miserable, and poor, and don't see it as Christians, what have you forgotten? You've forgotten how needy you are for grace. If Jesus says you're blind, what have you stopped seeing? Your continued need for forgiveness and daily conversion and strength from Jesus. If you're naked, what have you forgotten? You've forgotten that your fig leaves, your clothes, your righteousness does not save you. You're in need daily to let the knowledge of Jesus's rich robes of righteousness drive your zeal of response. So how do you keep from lukewarmness? You know, a couple came to a church not too long ago, and they wanted to join one of our sister churches, and they came before the elder body, and their testimony was deeply moving. The elders had tears in their eyes, and they said, "Why do you want to join this church? You can get anything you want out there. You know, our churches are very focused in the URC on just preaching the word, preaching the gospel, committed to historic Reformation, Protestant theology. We are focused on the Bible alone, grace alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone. I mean, this is the focus of our churches. And everything else out there, you can get anything you want." So they asked him, "You can get anything you want. Why us?" It's interesting. Everything we value today in the church, you know, community, friendliness, big buildings, youth programs, they said none of that they wanted. Here was their answer. "We know we will get Christ and his gospel every week. That won't be tampered with. We need him." Do you think as a church, or as churches, we can grow cold in that kind of desire? That you could be gathering this coming Sunday for all the wrong reasons and just be very comfortable, going with the flow, the social status, the status quo, and not see your own spiritual poverty? This is what Jesus just said to this church. "Blessed, right, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." How does Jesus respond to this? Jesus says, "I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." What Jesus is saying is, come buy gold. You need to be refined. He was playing off the commercialism of that church and that culture. You know, you're all concerned with physical gold. Let me tell you about a different kind of gold. There is so much impurity among you, you need to be refined as a refiner's fire. Put on white garments and be clothed. What you need is to have garments unstained. Yours are filthy with sin. You are idolatrous. You've joined the world. You need the garments that only I can give. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price, Isaiah 55. That's what Jesus is playing off of here. You need what I can give. And so Jesus closes by giving what I call a gracious threat. It's a message of tough love. What does he call them to do? Verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. I will chasten because I love you." Well, what an amazing, amazing verse, isn't it? The whole thing here is a design of love because he won't let any of his own go cold. They will be hot. So how does that begin? He says, "Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." Many take that verse as if Jesus is just waiting at the doors of our hearts for us to open to him. And if we open to him, he'll come in. And if not, he stays out of our hearts. That's not the meaning, dear listener. In fact, it's the polar opposite. Jesus is not standing begging to come into your hearts. He's describing what he said in Luke. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. When he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. He is stirring them up to be burning with zeal for him, to be repentant in their walks, to see the privilege of serving in his kingdom. Satisfaction in us, our positions, our righteousness, our great church name is not what Jesus is after. Pride and smug self-satisfaction will be torn down. Shallow piety will never save anyone. Lukewarmness to Christ is like drinking lukewarm coffee. You spew it out, so he will spew out that church that is like that. Which direction are we going in? Which direction are you going in? Cold or hot? I hope, dear listener, that the preaching you're sitting under has pushed you one way or the other. I hope no one's sitting there in the church today and is just lukewarm, not seeing their own spiritual poverty. I wonder what the church thought when they got this letter. He began to knock. The Laodiceans cannot avert his arrival by ignoring the knock. But their response to his warning will determine whether his entrance brings them the joy of the banquet, as one pastor said, or the exposure of their shame. Jesus gives a beautiful promise here. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Doesn't that jolt you ahead to the New Jerusalem when we will actually share in that throne? You know what's tragic? Years ago, the Archbishop Trench went to Laodicea. This is where the church once thrived, where the city was full of prosperity and wealth, you know? Here's what he describes. All has perished now. He who removed the candlestick of Ephesus has rejected the Laodiceans out of his mouth. The fragments of aqueducts and theaters spread over the vast extent of the country tell of the former magnificence of this city. But of this once famous church, nothing survives. You know, we've considered a lot in the past months of our study of the seven churches. We close it today. You have to ask the question, where do we stand? Where are we headed as churches? It takes a whole body working together in unison with hearts full of gratitude, in loving service, in joyful service, in zeal and passion, with people who encourage one another, building up one another in the body, with a body that is faithfully laboring for Christ's name in witness. It takes all of these things. And may we do all we can as churches to faithfully bear his name. You see, dear listener, a glorious day is coming. Be excited about being a part of Christ's church. Are you a part of it? I know today the mentality exists out there that we don't have to be a member of a church. I run into it all the time. I hope some are listening today who have bought into that mentality. I want you to know you're living in perpetual sin before God. Does that bother you? It should. He is with his church. You can't love Jesus and not be a part of the body he died for. Jesus is telling you, be a part of it. Be vibrant in it. Take delight in me, because there Jesus is proclaimed, and watch what happens. And so I end this series with what Jesus has said after all of each of these churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we sincerely ask for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, that P.O. Box is 732. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.